This is message 2 of the Bangkok Conference, 23rd through 26th of October 2015, a summary of the true worship. Verses are Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 4 to 5, verse 8, verse 14, verse 18, and verse 21. John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, and verses 11 through 16. We don't have much time, so we'll catch up a little bit. We need to fellowship concerning the matter of the Spirit. Because when the Lord Jesus spoke about the worship of the Father, he mentioned Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a place that God had chosen. It's not man's choice. That is why today you need to know that the church is God's choice, not man's. The church also belongs to Him. The church does not belong to man. That is why the principle of Jerusalem is very important. In the early days, all the Gentiles had their own gods. They had all kinds and types of idols. They also had all kinds of different places and all kinds of ways to worship their gods. Some are really very terrible. When we went to Yala, we saw the idol worshippers. They're very dreadful. It's really dreadful. God said, "You should not worship me in that way." I don't need to talk about it. You can read it for yourselves. They had different places of worship. Today, Christianity also has different places of worship. This is not what God wants, because it is man's choice. Whatever I like to do, I just go ahead and do it. And he likes it his way. The Lord that we know, although there's only one, but you have your own opinion, he has his own opinion, and I have my own opinion. Many times it seems that the Christ that I believe in is not quite the same as the one you believe in. It's the same Christ. Yet, in my opinion, the Christ is different than the Christ in your opinion. So each one has his own way of worship. You like to go over there, and I like to come over here. And he likes to go, I don't know where. There are many different places. God says, not like this. It has to be a place of God's choice. And it's also not according to the doctrine that you know. Do not forget, God is living. God is living. Nor can each one do what is right in his own eyes. Do not think that we won't do this. You have your way of thinking, and I feel that this way is right, then it's very troublesome. No one goes, ask God. I do things according to my idea, and you go according to your idea. And he goes according to his views. Now, there's trouble. What should we do? Then you say we need to be one. That's correct. But how do we be one? Am I to be one with you, or are you to be one with me? Brother Wang, what should we do? If it's only you and I, it's still an easy thing. This week you do according to you, and next week you go according to my way. I know of such a place. That is conjoining. It's a kind of compromise. This week is your turn to speak according to what you think, and next week it's according to what I think. We won't fight. How about that? Tell me, is that a good thing? Why not? We don't fight. We'll take turns. This week is according to your way, and next week is according to my way. Brother Chen, is that a good thing? As long as we don't fight. Oh, we're one. Is that good? He can't say. Now tell me, is that a good thing? Then you have to tell me why it's not good. Because it's still according to you and according to my way, and it's not according to his way. That is why a very important truth concerning Jerusalem, the heavenly and spiritual principle, is that you have to go according to God's choice, not according to mine, nor is it according to your choice. Whatever you think is right in your own eyes is still your way, and what I see as right is still my way. It may not be what God sees as right. We all can be wrong. Without a heart that seeks after God, we all can be presumptuous. Today's Christianity is just like this. Let's not talk about Christianity. Let's talk about us Christians. We are also like that. Tell me, don't you do your thing and I do my thing in the church? Let's be honest. Do you have the assurance that your decision is what God wants? Have you fasted and prayed and asked God concerning this, and yet you just do whatever you please? Then what should we do? Tell me, are we still one? You do your thing and I do my thing. No one ever considered God. Oh Father, what do you want? That is why it's not an easy thing, not simple, to see Jerusalem. I agree that the principle of Jerusalem is that God does not allow his people to be divided. But if you don't, were to be divided, you have to do things according to His will. If you do not do according to His will, sooner or later there will be a division. There will be division upon division. Why? Because it is not according to God's will. Jerusalem is what God has chosen. We all need to fear God. It's not just a matter of saying it, but it depends on your action, what you do. Many of us seated here all know the principle of Jerusalem. Perhaps the saints from Cambodia who have entered into a fellowship with us recently do not know the principle of Jerusalem or what we're sharing about here. God is not a God of confusion. He does not do things loosely. You have to know that He is God. Whatever He says counts. We all have to listen to Him. It's not listening to me or listening to you. So in whatever we do, we should have a heart that fears God. That is why in Psalm 139 it says, I've mentioned it several times in Bangkok, the Lord Jehovah is the one who builds up Jerusalem. It's not you and it's not me. Because you and I do not have the ability. It's He who builds. If it's man who builds, in the end, it's a one big mess. That's why Psalm 139 says, no. That's Psalm He says He does not want the strength of a horse or the legs of man, but He has pleasure in one who fears the Lord. Because if you do not fear Him, you just do things loosely. You speak loosely and you do loosely. You do whatever you please. It doesn't work that way. Do not think that if a responsible brother says something, everybody has to listen to him, even if he's wrong. Even if he's wrong, you still have to listen to him. No, I've seen a lot of this. Why did you not follow the Living Stream Ministry in those days? Why were you not one with you? Because you caused division? Because you caused division. Because you don't follow. You don't say amen. You're not one. How do you explain that? How do I know that it comes from God? Brothers and sisters, it's not simple. Surely the Bible talks about being one. Do not think that I do not believe in this. But this oneness has to be one with Him. Only this is a true oneness. Our oneness is not just oneness. Our oneness is the oneness of the triune God. There are many kinds of oneness in the world. Many societies are one also. Also, the mafia is also one. Communism is also one. If you're not one, your head will be chopped off. That's also oneness. There are many kinds of oneness. How about our oneness? Are we just one? No matter what, we're just one. We're just one. We're one. One, one, one. Amen. Yes. Now, is it you being one with me or me one with me? I am one with you. Do not think that I am joking. When I went to Taiwan, I heard it two or three times already. I heard it two or three times. Those from the LSM say, you may be wrong 1,000 or 10,000 times, but as long as you're one, it's right. But you may be right 1,000 and 10,000 times, but if you divide, it's wrong. Show me, is that the word of God? Even if you're wrong, I still have to be one with you? If you are against God, should I still be one with you? No matter how wrong it is, just being one would be right. That's terrible. You're wrong, and yet I still have to be one with you. What kind of a oneness is that? Brother Dehua, if your being one with me would offend God, but if you're one with God, you would offend me. So, with whom would you be one? But if you are one with God, then you have to separate from me. But we are one. We are one. What should you do? No matter how wrong it is, you remain as one, and you are right. It sounds very good. It sounds very good. If you're not one with God, with whom are you one? It's correct that Jerusalem is one. You have to realize that it's because it's God's choice. But if that choice became man's choice, and man no longer listens to God, but only listens to man, at that time, with whom would you want to be one? With whom? Don't you have such a situation in Taiwan as well? That is why, brothers and sisters, today I stand here to help you. I'm not giving teachings here. I ask the Lord. At that time, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if that is of you, fine. If it's not of you, I cannot have part of that thing because I want to be one with you. It depends on what the Lord chooses. Of course, if you don't know the Lord, you would make choice at random. You just close your eyes and go, mini, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And, oh, I'll just choose this one. Do not be one with man in a loose way. It's not that simple. We have to know this living God. If I am not a person who chooses according to God's choice daily, then when something happens, you would know, you would not know how to choose. Especially the responsible brothers. You have to exercise and practice. Otherwise, what should we do? Right? It's correct. The principle of Jerusalem is oneness. In the early days when Brother Watchman Nee talked about one city, one church, this was in 1937. That was not wrong. But what he saw at that time was what was a reality in the Bible, is the churches that the Lord had built up because our God is one. That is why his church on the earth also has to be one in different localities. That's why he spoke concerning the ground of the church. It became a teaching. One city, one church, for the sake of oneness. This is not wrong. But you have to know that man can changes. Man can change. Because the church can be fallen. The seven churches in the book of Revelation were fallen. They were fallen to the extent that in the end they became the great Babylon. So after 1947, 10 years later, once again, Watchman Nee shared concerning the ground of the church. You can go read that the book further talks on the church life. You go read that book, chapter 1. He began with point number 1. The most important point concerning this is the authority of this Holy Spirit, the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. And it's point number 2 that he spoke about the boundary of locality. A boundary of locality. Once again, I say, although Watchman Nee explained it in this way, why did he give such an explanation? Because he knew. If it's just one city, one church, that's too cheap. Tomorrow, if the Mormon church also wants to stand on the one city, one church, are they then the church? Tell me. You must see the spiritual reality. That's why Watchman Nee spoke about the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. If the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit is replaced by man, like in those days with LSM, the Living Stream Ministry, where they all had to listen to a certain person. If you do not listen to him, you're cut off. If you do not accept the ministry station, you're cut off. What kind of oneness is that? Whose oneness is that? Is that the oneness of God? It's man's oneness. So if it's man's oneness, what are you going to do? What would you do? Why don't you go back there? What do you come here for? It's so far. And the plane ticket is so expensive. It's also so inconvenient, right? Why don't you go back? I would just go back to where you came from and just be one with them. How are you going to be one? The oneness in the Bible, our oneness, is the triune God. It's one Holy Spirit, one Lord, one God and Father. Besides, He is above all, and He is also within all. We all have to listen to Him. Besides, the Lord Jesus is the head. He's the head of the church. You talk about the body, it's very easy for everyone to talk about the body. But where's the head? Is it a body without the head? Does the body have a head? And who is the head? Oh, you can't see him. Oh, you can't. I can see him. I can see this Deyo. And it's easy to listen to him. But you cannot hear the one who's sitting on the throne. You cannot see him and you cannot hear him. But I can see Dehua. I can see him. I can hear him. I'll just follow you. That's good enough. I don't have to follow him. Now, what happens if the body is without a head? Oh, why don't you come and be the head? How about that? No? Why? Don't you want to be the head? You'll be way above all, above everybody. And you also have the seat of Moses. And everybody's going to listen to you. Isn't that a good thing? Why is it not a good thing? Really not? It's not just that you're saying it with your mouth, but within your heart, you really want to be there. I believe you. People who know God, if a person knows God, he would not dare to be the head. Because God has set him to be head over all things to the church. The most important part of the body is the head. That is why, brothers and sisters, tell me, you say we're one. If you go to LSM, they're also one, right? You still have relatives over there, right? Right? Are they one? They are very much one. They are more one over there than you people over here. They are one upon one. They're very obedient, or very submissive. Please, you go there. Why don't you go? You are causing division. You're not even one with the members of your family. You are one who causes division. You're not obedient. Is that right? Why not? Because you listen to him. Then it's right. Brothers and sisters, we should not follow blindly. You have to know the truth. And you also have to know the living triune God. And you also need to be a person who lives in the Spirit. Our oneness is within the triune God. Besides, it's He and us. And it's full of the truth, full of glory. If your oneness is just merely a oneness, now what kind of a oneness is it? You can have all kinds of oneness. In the end, you are against God, and yet you're still one. May the Lord open our eyes. Yes, it's right. We love Jerusalem, but you have to know it's God's choice. It's what is mentioned in Psalm 132. God has chosen Jerusalem. You have to learn this. You have to know the Lord. And you have to have an intimate relationship with God. You have to learn to hear Him. In this way, we will be preserved. So we go back to look at what Watchman Nee said. Because you people respect Watchman Nee too much. That is why I use the words of Watchman Nee to encourage you. The first point is the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord. And we all have to hear Him. This is exactly according to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. That we may grow up in all things into Christ who is the head. Do not grow into a certain man. In those things, in that particular system, in all things you had to grow into the person of this Lee person. And you also had to grow into his son. Everyone had to listen to them. Even if you do not sin, as long as you do not listen to them, you will be quarantined. Why? Because you did not listen to them. So if you do not listen to them, you'll be quarantined. You'll be cut off. That kind of oneness is a terrible oneness, a dreadful oneness. the sovereignty, the authority of the Holy Spirit is no longer there. You're not growing into Christ who is ahead. Since you do not grow into him, what did Paul say? The building of the body comes out from the head, Christ. If you do not grow up into him, the head who is Christ has no control over you. So you do your own thing and I do my own thing and he does his own thing. Otherwise, everybody just listens to me. And then everything is fine. Because I don't listen to him and you don't listen to him, so you just listen to me. Would that be good? How about that? Would that be a good thing, just to listen to me? If you dare. If you dare not to listen, I'll chase you out. If I chase you out, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to fight with me? Useless. You have to go follow the Lamb. In those days in the wilderness, in the camp of the Israelites from north, south, east, west, they still, everywhere, there were still the idols. Tell me, what should God do? Should God dwell there also? And to compete with the other gods? Is that what he did? No, he moved out. He moved out of the camp. Do not think that the Lord says, one city, one church, then I can't help it. I'm stuck here. Is God so foolish? God moved out. When Moses went to meet with God, he had to go out of the camp. Tell me, isn't this in the Bible? And at the time of Eli, the old Eli, their sons did things very loosely. What happened in the end? The ark ran away. It's not that the Philistines were able to take the ark away. They did not have the ability, but God used them to leave with them. That is why the tabernacle at Shiloh was empty. Yet people still went over there and they worshipped over there. But the tabernacle was empty. That happened for a long time, until the time of David. It's only at the time of David that he brought the ark back. Why does the Bible record such a thing? You may say it's the Old Testament. No, it's the Scripture. It's recorded in 1 Samuel. The ark left. Who is the ark? The ark is our Lord Jesus. The ark is God. God left. If God left, what are you going to do? And then, at the time of Solomon, the temple was built, and the glory of God filled the temple. Oh dear, the Israelites did it again. They did it again. They sinned. They worshiped idols. Then what happened? Would God still remain there? People wanted to stay there. But God is not as foolish as I am. It's no longer it, and it's already wrong, and you still want to stay there. He has already left, and why would you still want to stay there? You know, at the time of Eli, the glory of God departed, and the ark left. Of course, according to their concept, it was taken away by the Philistines. They were defeated in battle. When Eli heard of it, he died. His daughter-in-law was pregnant, and she gave birth to a son, and she also died. But before she died, she named her son. What's the name in Chinese? It's Ichabod. What's the meaning of Ichabod? That means the glory of the Lord departed. Why do we fellowship in this way? And why is such a record in the Bible about this? Because our God is living. You cannot entrap him in your concept. I didn't say that you trap him in your coffin, but it's in your concept. Even if you're wrong, is he still going to stay there? Then, let me tell you, you do not know God. The Bible shows us that true and living God is not like that. Do not think that after he departed, we're still it. No. And then Solomon sinned. In the end, the entire nation sinned. Would God still remain in Jerusalem? Oh, you say, that's Jerusalem. Is that not still Jerusalem? Was it? God invited Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, to tear down that temple. And the holy city, Jerusalem, was burnt. And God's people were taken captives to Babylon. Tell me, is that a good thing? Do you think that God would not dare to do such a thing? Go read the book of Ezekiel, chapters 10 to 11. Because Ezekiel did not agree with that. Why did you just tear down your temple and destroyed it? God brought Ezekiel back to take a look what those people were doing over there. Ezekiel had nothing to say anymore. So in Ezekiel chapters 10 and 11, the glory of God departed from the temple and departed from Jerusalem. We should not maintain such a church life to the extent that God departed and you're still there. In the end, it's man who is king there, and he is no longer there. Do not think that you can keep or trap God in your system. If he left, do you want to leave? I leave. To follow the Lamb is right. This is what Revelation chapter 14 tells us. This group of people are those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Are you one who follows the Lamb, or are you one who follows the doctrine of one city, one church? That is why you need to see. The ground of the church. There are two aspects of it. The first aspect is the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. And the second aspect, only then it's concerning the one city, one church, the boundary of locality. Do not forget that there are these two points. If the first point is absent, yet you talk about point number two, it's empty. It's unfortunate. Today, in many places, they just talk about this point. They no longer have the first point. They just talk about one city, one church, one locality, 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 locality. Without the Holy Spirit, it's still talking about a locality. Without glory, it's still the locality. It's just one city, one church, one city, one church. The Lord has left already. And you're still singing 1-1-1, 1-1-1, we're one. May the Lord open your eyes. Tell me, what do you want me to say? Whether you like to hear it or not. I am just here to speak what He wants to speak. Whether you believe it or not, it's up to you. If the church has already become a glorious church, the Lord would have come back already, long time ago. Why does history show us that there are so many groups and denominations? So many divisions. Because in the beginning, it was God's work. But later on, it became man's work. But once it becomes man's work, man does not want you to go forward. He just wants to imprison you. You want to imprison the Lord? I can't do that. Can you? Can you imprison the Lord within your system? When He goes forward, there will be a group of people who will follow Him. In your eyes, that's division. You're causing division. But in God's eyes, according to God's eyes, they are people who are following him. So in the early days, were you doing a work of division? No. So may the Lord open our eyes. In the Church of God, in Jerusalem, the most important person is our Lord Jesus, and God our Father, and the Holy Spirit, the glorious triune God. The rest of things are not important. Although it's needed, we need brothers. We need the older ones, that's correct. But we are merely servants. We are not the Lord. We are not the Master. Or has things turned around and you have become the Master, the Lord? If the servants became the master, then the Lord departs. That is why he told the Israelites, when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, he said, it's your house. Your house. It's your temple. It became their temple, it's no longer the Lord's temple. In the beginning, he still said, it's my house, my Father's house. In the end, he said, it's your temple. Now the temple is yours. Because now you became the Lord. You just do whatever you want to do. Isn't this your house then? When I go to your house, would I dare to be the master? You'll be kicking me out. If I want to be the Lord over your house, first of all, I must kick you out. Once I kick you out, who's house does it become? It becomes mine. It becomes mine. Lord Jesus, open our eyes. So that is why Paul says we have to be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. It's not to be diligent to keep the oneness of man, endeavoring to keep the oneness of the Spirit. You have to clearly differentiate. Do not say one, one, and one. You have to discern whether it's the oneness of the Spirit. You need to discern clearly. Do not be foolish. Christians cannot be foolish. You know that the enemy is there, constantly wanting to attack us and to deceive us. That is why in the church we all need to pay attention to the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. Thank and praise the Lord. And then this oneness has to continue to grow. It cannot stop there. You say, how to grow? How to grow? You have to know the oneness of the Son of Man. You cannot stop, because God is living. if our relationship with the Lord is living, then you can see how wonderful and how rich this Christ is. That is why Ephesians tells us, let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 11, we read this before. Let's see how. When the Lord ascended on high, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, it's for perfecting of the saints. If you do not equip or perfect them, the saints will remain the same year after year. They never got perfected. If you want to be perfected, you need to improve, to progress. People say that you do not need to progress. He says, Brother John is pushing. Is pushing people. I'm not pushing anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. Whether you move or not, it's up to you. Well, after I'm done speaking, I leave. Who is there to move you? Can I really move you? Can I do that? You have to perfect the saints. The perfecting is very important. So that each one, by every joint of supply, it says, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Do not know that our faith is, we know our faith, but our faith is living, it continues to grow. And the knowledge of the Son of God, do you know him? Yes? And yet it's no. Because you do not know him enough. That is why this oneness of the faith needs to grow in the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to a grown-up man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's very amazing that we should no longer be children. They're deceived by men through the trickery of men. We should no longer be children. In a spiritual aspect, we should not be children. This is what the Word of God tells us. If you are still a spiritual child, you're easily affected, easily influenced by the trickery of men. This is what Paul says. And the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Do not think that Christians don't do that. You can go on to read. Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. each one has to grow and mature. Each one needs to know the living Christ. Besides, your knowledge needs to grow. You cannot stop. Do not think that you've learned enough. If we think that we know enough today, Paul would tell you, you don't know anything. If Paul said, if any man thinks that he knows, that he has knowledge, Paul says, he knows nothing. Because there are many, many riches of Christ and experiences. The more we grow, our experience changes, it increases. It's only in this way that we can grow and mature, full of the measure of the stature of Christ. This is the true building of the body of Christ. Otherwise, we're just shouting about the body of Christ. I don't know what they're shouting about. Do not be such a Christian. Okay, we'll continue this evening. We'll share concerning Jerusalem. Because this matter of Jerusalem is too important concerning the church. Our understanding in the past is not enough. We have all had some experience. I hope that we will all learn. Amen.